Well, I hope that gives you an overview of what the EA does. Anybody here a member of the EA? Wonderful, good to hear. And I know the church is hoping to join in due course, and we're so thrilled about that, and more about that in a moment. But it's lovely to be amongst a crowd of complete strangers, and I think it's amazing. There's a sort of feel-good factor at Christian festivals, or when you're together, you've no idea the background of anybody, but there is a unity in Christ, isn't there? But unity is more than a feeling. It's the lifeblood of the church. And Jesus' prayer that we just had read out in John 17 was the foundation of the Evangelical Alliance in 1846. Now, I've been told by David to press that, and it works. Brilliant. I'm so glad. So I'll just read that out. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And unity is for a purpose. It's that the world might believe. And being one, it's not a formal arrangement or an outward agreement, like, dare I mention it, the EU. I haven't said the B word at all. But it's based on, it mirrors nothing less than the relationship between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's a huge challenge. It's relationship centered. It's unity for a purpose. And the motive for unity is the Great Commission of Jesus. Jesus prayed for complete unity so that the world might believe and know unity with God. And one of the greatest barriers to belief is disunity in the church. We see it in politics, don't we? The moment a political party becomes disunited, it loses popularity. But it happens in the secular world in that way. How much more in the church, when it is such a heartache to the God we so love? When churches fight against one another, people lose interest. And conversely, when churches do unite, it is so attractive, not just internally, but externally too. Unity is powerful. So that's the motive. The means of unity, I have to press it there, don't I? The means of unity is the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Jesus prayed that I myself may be in them. And that's the most extraordinary truth in the New Testament, that Jesus comes to live us by the Holy Spirit. I love that word. He imbues us. The Holy Spirit imbues us. It's like we breathe in the Holy Spirit. You think back to Jesus' anointing by the dove after his baptism. And that imbuing, that privilege is ours as well. It's just so amazing. That same Holy Spirit lives in all Christians of whatever church or denomination, those who think the same as us and those who don't. The Holy Spirit, though, unites us. So that's the motive, that's the means, and the mark of unity is, you've got two for one there, haven't you? The mark of unity is the love of Jesus. Jesus prayed that the love you have for me may be in them. Well, what higher love can you have than the love that God the Father has for his only Son? Jesus' prayer for you is that the love in your heart for other Christians, for other parts of the body of Christ, should be the same love that God the Father has for Jesus. Well, that's a huge challenge. How might that look for you? Respect and honor for those we might not agree with. Preferring one another in love is a phrase I love in the New Testament. So that's the motive, the means, the mark, and the measure of is the visibility of Jesus. The measure of unity is the visibility of Jesus. Sometimes people speak about invisible unity, but Jesus didn't pray for invisible unity, nor did he pray that we might be almost united. He prayed that we might be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me. It's like it's a key that unlocks something. He wants the church to be completely and visibly united. And one day we will see that, it says in Ephesians. But in the meantime, as we build bridges, work together, come together with other Christians from different parts of the church, we can see visible signs of the invisible unity. I wonder what little tweaks you're getting at the moment. Maybe a phone call you need to make, inviting someone over for coffee. A little note of upbuilding somebody who, dare we do it, we've had judgment in our hearts towards. God loves unity. God loves us to be completely united for the sake of Jesus. Jesus' prayer is the driving force of everything the Evangelical Alliance does. It's a vision for a church that's united in mission, that's confident and effective in voice, relationship-centered as Jesus prayed. And we'd love you to become part of what we're doing. We'd love you to do that as a church. I know that's on the cards. But we'd love you too as individuals, because a church is made up of individuals. And every time somebody becomes a member of the Evangelical Alliance, it's another stamp in the ground saying, I'm with you. I'm for what you're doing. You know, I'm behind what you stand for. And it's a huge encouragement to us, and it also enables us to do what we do. In politics, sorry, I'm useless at this. I should have got David to do it, really, shouldn't I? In politics, we hear a lot of promises that, you know, this policy or that policy is something that's going to change society. But we know as Christians that only God's transforming work in us as flawed individuals is really going to change a flawed society. Loved what was put up there about CAP and the hopeless mess that we get into. CAP's a member organisation of the Evangelical Alliance because it's doing the stuff. It's doing what we so believe in, that is trying to change a flawed society. As Christians, we have a responsibility to step in, to speak up, to be the good news in the communities that we live in. And we can only really make a difference when we pull together, when we unite, when we become the answer to Jesus' prayer for his church. And that's why the vision of the Evangelical Alliance is to bring Christians together and to facilitate a more effective, dynamic, credible church across England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales. We've got little offices in each of them dealing with the specific issues, particularly in terms of public policy that occur in those nations, internal nations. We have, as you'll see up there, 85 different denominational members. I thought there was the Anglican Church and possibly the Baptist, but, you know, it's huge. And the fastest growing churches are the black and ethnic minority churches, many of which have small denominations, which is where that number has expanded hugely. They make up 25% of the Christian voice in this country now. They're an important voice and growing. So all those denominations all have their particular table manners. We want them to be one. We don't want... Oneness isn't conformity. It doesn't mean they've all got to do things the same way, but they all believe that Jesus is Lord and they want other people to know him too. So fantastic variety of churches that are members of the Alliance. And we're working relationally with churches to identify needs and opportunities and mobilising them to become God's agents for change. It's through the local church, as you know more than anyone, that's so much in your DNA, isn't it, that change happens. You uniquely are responsible for this area. This is God's charge on you. I love it when when Laura was whatevered, signed up, to hear, you were given the cure of souls to the parish. That's another phrase which is so good, isn't it? It's your responsibility within this parish to see those people coming to Jesus, for them to get a flavour of who Jesus is by what you do out there. You'll have lots of stories of how that's happened locally. But I just want to touch on a few areas in the EA where they're working to give you an idea of the breadth of what we're doing, some of those highlighted in the little video clip before. So in advocacy, we speak out on your behalf to government and the media. We've got a dedicated press office that speaks with truth and grace. Jesus was full of truth and grace, wasn't he? Into issues that matter to evangelical Christians. I say we try to have two-thirds of everything we put out is positive news. Sometimes we have to say, we're just a bit concerned about this, but our voice is one of the beckoning hand rather than the pointing figure. So important. Christians just see, the world just see Christians as being pointing fingers. We don't want that. We want to see people to see that the church is good news to their communities. And we're building with relationships with MPs and leaders to ensure Christians are represented at the top levels of government. A big issue, and increasingly so in the days ahead, in the years ahead, is the issue of religious liberty. We're protecting religious liberty, and a lot of our time goes on to issues connected with that. And looking forward, we need to be prepared for that. We've formed something called the Religious Liberty Commission, which is some of the major organisations working in that space who are members of the Evangelical Alliance, so they're well joined up and working well together. The Lawyers Christian Fellowship, which again is a member organisation, approached us a couple of years ago and said, look, we really need to do something so that people have greater confidence in the public space. People are running scared, saying, oh dear, I'm not allowed to mention the nativity at my school or, you know, or library. So they very kindly produced a resource for us. This is the short pamphlet version. If you're a lawyer here, you might appreciate the really long and possibly slightly tedious to the rest of us version, which you can download on the website or send off for. But it's some guidelines of actually what you can and cannot do to talk about your faith, because we what we hear in the press makes us think, oh, can't say anything. Actually, this country was founded on Christian principles. We can say a huge amount, but again, we need to remember to say it with grace and truth. And I think sometimes the issues are how Christians project themselves. Let's try and be Jesus-like in how we talk about our faith in the public square. But I've got a few copies of that. Do come and get one of those if you'd like to. Another area, we've just recently appointed an education public policy. Any teachers here? Right, one or two. And you'll know that it's, again, becoming an increasingly contested area, what you can and cannot teach in schools, even in a school which is a Church of England primary school or an independent school with Christian foundations. There are stipulations becoming increasingly more stringent. How can we deal with this? So we've appointed somebody to look at that, again, to gather people together who want to say, let's have our religious freedoms. Let us be able to talk about our faith and to pass it on, to share that with our children. If you want to know more, I've got a little table at the back. Come and chat to me about that, because we need your support. We need your prayers for that area in particular. We're equipping and encouraging Christians to engage with politics beyond just the ballot box. And I think whenever I come to a church, I always think, I hope somebody will consider getting more involved in local politics, maybe even national politics. But just in the same way, it's great to be encouraged to be on your governing body of your school. It's great too. Sometimes these are a bit tedious, all the meetings, but how else can a Christian voice be heard? At the end of the day, that's where decisions are made about how this community is formed. So if you've got a mind for that, then go for it and get the church to be behind you in praying for you as God's spokesperson to your local community through the local council or whatever. We're raising up Christian leaders in all the main cultural spheres so that we can see education, business, media and the arts all transformed. Because what we worked out is that however hard we work, our advocacy team are only ever really firefighting and responding to current culture. They've been doing that for 170 years. But on similar issues, how can we be more radical? And we realised we needed to be more intentional about encouraging Christians to lead in public life. There is a slightly sort of a subtitle in some churches, I hope, and I don't think so in this church, that, you know, if you're really spiritual, you'll become a vicar or a worship leader or a kids worker. But what about if you're really spiritual and you've got high motivation, you want to become the head of a bank or a major spokesperson in the area of education? Or an MP. because that's where change happens so much. I think so often of the Clapham sect and Wilberforce and what he managed to do in only a generation. And, of course, the Wilberforce name is well known to us, but what about all the other guys who were behind him, who were in positions of influence and by so doing managed to steer the ship of this country to a place where the gospel could flourish more abundantly? That's what we want too, isn't it? So there's a culture change that's needed in the UK church, and we're trying to do that through our public leadership programme. There's a website and, again, some leaflets about that at the back. And we're just in the beginning of our second public leadership training course for those in their 20s and 30s who are ambitious and intently, who sense God's call on them to go places in their career. And we want to be behind them and, if you like, create mini Wilberforce sects. And what is lovely, this is something that the Evangelical Alliance, a lot of what we do is influenced by our council, which is made up of about 60 or 70 key representative people in the evangelical world of, across denominations and age groups and interest areas. And this was something that really was a prophetic voice saying we need to big up leaders and prepare them for the world better. And so these sort of leadership academies are springing up all over the place. You might have heard of them too. And I would see them really as part of a move of God. If you're in the workplace thinking, I don't feel supported, say to Laura, help, I need praying for in your intercessions. Or, you know, get in touch, be prayed for. See what you're doing is of huge importance for the sake of the gospel. So that's public leadership course. Where am I at? We're well placed to do that and get in touch with that, because we run something called Gather, which is a program, which is a networking, if you like, of churches in different communities. What you find is that in some towns and cities, churches work really, really well together. They don't need what we've been doing. But we have the privilege of a sort of bird's eye view of the country. And some parts of the country, actually, there's nothing really, or particularly in the more rural areas, nothing where people from different churches can gather together for missional purposes. Or in some places, there's been a history of disunity that needs approaching and sorting. So Gather is something that really tries to do that, uniting Christians at a local level in mission-focused unity movements, gathering churches together and their leaders to impact their local communities. So in a number of places, a CAP course is run by a group of churches, as opposed to one happening there and one down the road, or food banks is another example, working together in a powerful way for the gospel. And the gospel's at the heart of absolutely everything we do. And Gavin Calver, who you may have heard speak if you're a Spring Harvest person, I'm pressing too hard, aren't I, is all out for mission. He's our director of mission. And when he came on board, we just commissioned some research with the Church of England and Hope, Roy Crown's thing called Talking Jesus. There's a special website. And as a church, you can chart where you're at in terms of mission initiatives. Through that, it's a piece of research that's going to be going on for the next 20 or 30 years to try and help churches be more intentional about mission in their local community. Part of that is we developed a website, again, little leaflets at the back, called The Great Commission. And if you like, it's a one-stop shop of resources. The obvious things like at the Alpha course, there's a link to that, but there are masses of resources out there. There might be something amazing happening in your church that a church in Leicestershire could benefit from. So if you like, it's a way that you think, gosh, we really need to inspire. We need something that works with the elderly at Christmas. Have a look, lots of cross-references, and you might find something useful. It's also a great encouragement. Every week there's a new testimony, some churches show those testimonies at the beginning of their services, or you can have it on Facebook, so you can start Monday morning at 9 a.m. with hearing somebody's testimony and thinking, golly, God's at work in a big way, isn't he? One of the really good things that's happening at the moment is that we profiled a mothers and toddlers group that's somewhere, I can't remember where it is, Skipton, that is absolutely amazing and having incredible results in the local community in terms of people coming to faith. And so we've put some resources into that so that that can be replicated around the country, where a lot of toddler groups, so you've probably got one here where you hope the mothers come in locally and, you know, they all sing the wheels on the bus. And we're saying, well, no, what about the wise man built his house upon the rock? You know, actually being much more intentional. The children go home with amazing Bible stories and resources that actually spread. It's very clever. All those resources are there on the Great Commission website. Another area I mentioned, 25% of the Christian voice now in this country is from black and ethnic minority. We've created again something that called the One People Commission so that they are gathered together. Again, I think it's 21 nations are represented through that, and they can speak on issues that really affect them particularly into government and the media through us. One thing they came to us is saying, you know, look, we want to meet, but we used to be able to meet in a school. Now they're saying we're not so sure because you're religious, aren't you? Amazing thing. We got somebody together to do a project where you go around the country. There's loads of empty churches, aren't there? And there's loads of thriving congregations which need somewhere to meet. So we've got a lawyer behind it who has enabled that to happen and produced all the documentation so that, it, again, you don't have to pay for a lawyer every time you try and do that. And that has meant a whole load of new churches have opened up just by doing a pooled resource of something. A subgroup of One People Commission that's very dear to my heart is the South Asian Forum, representing the now 9 South Asian countries. Some of you may have heard of that already, but Manoj, my colleague who runs this, is just the most amazing guy. He cannot walk along a street without telling somebody about Jesus. Honestly, it's so funny. Every week I hear ridiculous stories, and I think, golly, why didn't I chat to the person next to me on the tube last night? You know, but he's a really all out, you know, because he's come to faith as an adult, Hindu background, and he can't believe that we're not talking about Jesus all the time. It's so exciting for him. His child was sick, on the point of death, had a severe asthma condition, and some fellow parents in his child's class said, could we go to the hospital and pray for him? And they said, well, all right, if you like. And he was healed. Well, he stood up and noticed. And then over meals, they would ask them out and talk about their Christian faith. And he came to faith through just the witness of these parents at school. His story is in a book they've just produced called Simply Eat, which he's really very keen on people using meals in their community as a means to spreading the gospel. And it's got lots of testimonies and lots of really good recipes. And it's a great book to buy people as a present, birthday present or whatever. So again, on Amazon, if you just Google Simply Eat, or if you go on the South Asian Forum website, you'll see links to that. But another way, he's also produced a course called Discovering Jesus Through Asian Eyes, which if you like is a kind of alpha course, Christianity Explored, basic course. But most people from a South Asian background, they don't have a problem believing in God. It's a question of which God. And so the course is designed and even looks the format in a way that is more conducive to meeting people where they're at. And again, in particular, parishes where there's a high South Asian population, it's been had great success. So back to John 17 as I round up, and those verses which are so important to us. How can that prayer be put into practice in your particular area of influence? Those you meet during the week, your family, your friends, your community, your workplace. Well, I'd like to suggest that firstly, it's by committing to unity in your own relationships, wherever they are. Again, if twinges come of where you've been part of a breakdown of unity, put it right today. How can you be part of unity there, that prayer would be true for you? How can you also pray for greater unity amongst Christians in your own community and across this country? That's how we can put that prayer into practice. Pray for unity amongst Christians. And the third way I'd say is how we can make that prayer happen in our own life is by joining EA. I can't not say it, but we'd love you to get on board with what we're doing. You can get loads of emails for free. You might well be inundated, but if you're particularly interested in the advocacy work, then there's a monthly update of what we're doing. You can sign up for our press releases, so when you hear them, you can, you know, forward them to your local paper. You can, you know, there are ways that we would love you to engage with the work that we're doing. But I've brought some forms along at the back of the church, and I'd love you to consider joining as an individual. It's £3 a month. You probably are part of lots of organisations like that. It may be a big stretch to go one step further, but it means that you will be enabling us to do the stuff we're doing on your behalf, to guard this space in this country so that Christians can flourish, and to move ahead to see this country enable Jesus to be seen and known more powerfully. A little incentive to you, I've only got one book. Normally I bring a lot more. The first person who can fill that in and give it to me, that book's waiting for you. And I trust and pray that the Lord will call you in your own area to have greater confidence to stand up for him and to be salt and light in this place he's planted you. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a word of prayer. Lord, we want to commit to unity, to echo your prayer in John 17, in our lives, that we might be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Lord, where there's a lack of unity, bring healing. Where we ourselves have been willful in withholding unity, where we've had a judgmental spirit, forgive us. Guide us in how we can be actively at work in our families, our community, even in our nation, to transform it by your uniting love for your glory's sake. Amen.
Thank you, Sue.